The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Little over 3 years ago, when I had first moved to Chico from Brooklyn, I preached a sermon about my first trip to the flumes of paradise. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with those flumes, I brought a picture. That'll be on our next slide. See, the flumes are an aqueduct, and they were built to carry water for gold mining and to generate electric power. And on top of that aqueduct carrying water, there's a catwalk. And what it made for was the perfect path to see the splendor of the Feather River Canyon, to go walk and peer out above those steep canyons at the beauty below. And when I preached the sermon a little over 3 years ago, I talked about how, in my attempt to capture the beauty of these flumes, I knocked off my glasses, and they fell into the flumes and were quickly carried away forever by the fast-moving water. And I said that was particularly significant for me because I had purchased those glasses in Brooklyn. I had purchased those glasses in an attempt to fit in to the hipster culture of Brooklyn. But I said that no matter how stylish my glasses were, I never really fit in because that was never really me. And that moment became a defining moment in my life because in that moment, I stopped being the pastor from Brooklyn who had moved here. And I started being a pastor from Chico. Now, from that moment on, the flumes became a sacred place for me. And anytime someone would come visit, I would take them there. When my parents came, I showed them the flumes. When I had friends from New York and I wanted to impress them with my new home, I took them to the flumes. One of my first dates with Annalisa was at the flumes. The flumes have been like a temple to me. And so this past Friday, on the one-year mark from the campfire, I returned to those same flumes. And this is what I found. Charred lumber, broken pipes, melted catwalks. The flumes are gone. Now, I want to be clear, there are many beautiful places to hike around here still, but there are none of them that will mean to me what those flumes meant to me.
The scripture
we read this morning, that first reading from the prophet Haggai, a committee over 70 years ago chose that we would read that reading today, and I can only assume the Spirit was working through them, because the words of the prophet Haggai are words spoken to a community of people who have just returned to their home of Jerusalem after years in exile, and they have returned at last to this home and found that it has been burned to the ground. And so they start to rebuild it. They start to rebuild their homes, and then they start to rebuild the house of the Lord, the temple. And as they rebuild it, they have in their mind the memory of how things used to be. And so the prophet Haggai says to them, "Who among you who is left who remembers its former glory?" And he asks, "How does it seem to you now?" See, what the prophet is asking is to say, you have waited so long to come home. You have worked so hard to reclaim this land and start to rebuild your homes once more. And now that you are finally doing it, what do you think? How does it compare to what you remember it used to be like? And the prophet answers his own question, because he knows it can't compare. He says, "Is it not in your sight as nothing?" Now, the response might be to him and perhaps to me and to the people of paradise might be, "We're just getting started. It's just been 1 year. We've got a long way ahead of us to go, and it's just the beginning. Already 450 building applications have been submitted. There are 200 businesses open once more in Paradise. 11 occupancies have been granted. They even have a plan to rebuild the bridge at Honey Run. But there's no plan to rebuild the flumes. There's no plan to rebuild the part of Paradise that mattered most to me. Now, this past week, there have been a lot of commemorations up on the ridge, and I have had the privilege of being a part of several of them. And I would go up there, and I would ask people, I'd say, do you live in Paradise? And most of the answers that I got were, I used to. And a few people said, yeah, I've moved back. But whether they were just visiting to pay their respects or whether they had come to rebuild, there was a common question, and it was, will it be like it was? Will the paradise that mattered most to me still continue? And each person answered the question themselves. How can it? How can it? Tens of thousands of people have left. The institutions that define the community have disappeared. And the culture has changed. The city can no longer relate to the forest around it in the same way. To say, is there a future here? That question, I hear it not asked only on the ridge, I hear it asked down here, because in this past year, I hear the people of Chico ask, will it be like it was in our town? I hear the people of California ask after this past year, will it be like it was? And they all have the same answer. How can it? And in the midst of that answer, there is a deeper question, which is to say, if the past that I knew and loved does not continue, is there a future for me that I can know and love? And that is the question that is at the heart of the question that the Sadducees bring to Jesus in our gospel lesson today. You see, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in any kind of the afterlife. And the question they ask Jesus explains why. They say to him, teacher, say a woman marries seven times because each husband she marries dies, and so she marries his brother. If there is this resurrection that you speak of, this new life for all eternity, in that eternity, who will she be married to? Right? Because they're saying, we can't believe in a future because we can't imagine how God could take the pieces of this woman's broken past and fit them together in any way that makes sense, in any way that resembles the life that was. We might as well say the same thing of the temple in Jerusalem. How will God put the pieces of the memory of this place of sacred worship back together in any way that resembles what it was? How will God put the pieces of what was our community back together in any way that resembles that special place that it was? And Jesus' answer is simple. Jesus says, God won't. Jesus says God won't take those broken pieces and fit them back into what was. Jesus says God's future is not an eternity of our past. Jesus says God's future is so much better. So much better. Jesus says, in this life, we marry. We marry and we divide ourselves up into families because it is so hard for us to love even one person that we create an institution of marriage to bolster us so that we might be able to do it for the span of our life on this earth. We divide ourselves into families so that we might have the strength to love even our children. But Jesus says in the future that God is creating, We won't be divided into many families. We will be united into a single family because we won't be children of this parent or that parent. We will be children of one God. We will be children of the resurrection. And so Jesus says, you won't be married in the life that God is creating for you because you won't just love one person. You will love each and every person with a love beyond what you even feel now for your spouse. No, God's future is not an eternity of our past. It is so much greater. Because you see, the life that God has prepared for us, it is a new life in which there is no death, not just death of the body, but death of relationships. To the people of Jerusalem, the prophet Haggai says, no, the new temple won't compare with the old temple. It will be so much better. The prophet Haggai says, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the dry land and the seas. I will shake all the nations of this earth, and they will send their treasure. The latter glory, the latter splendor will exceed the former. Now, Jesus, in our gospel lesson today, is standing in the temple in Jerusalem that has been rebuilt. Jesus is standing in the fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy. The temple rebuilt more glorious than it had ever been before. But next Sunday, come back. Because next Sunday, Jesus will point to those impressive stones of the temple, and he will say, each and every one of those stones is about to come tumbling down. And in the year 70 AD, they did, because the temple of Jerusalem was burned to the ground once more, this time by Rome. And yet Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I will rebuild it. Because you see, the true temple of God is not a temple built with cedar or marble. The true temple of God is the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is built out of living stones, which is built out of the children of God coming together, no longer as children of one nation or another nation, but as children of the resurrection. For you see, the treasures of the nations are not silver and gold. The treasures of the nations are the people of God united together in love. And this is the glorious temple that Haggai prophesies, whose later splendor will far outshine its former. For the future of God is not an eternity of our past. It is the life we know transformed, where there is no longer death. Not just death of the body, but not death of relationships. And it is true for our community here also. It is true for me, and it is true for the people of paradise. For I tell you, before the fire, paradise was for me just a road that I drove through to get to the flumes. I never had met a single pastor there or stepped foot in a church. But after the fire, we were blessed to host the people of Paradise Lutheran for months. And I rejoiced to call Pastor Rod my friend. And this past Sunday, Pastor Rod invited me up to Paradise to be part of an ecumenical worship service to pray for the rebuilding of Paradise. And it took place not at Paradise Lutheran, it took place at St. Thomas More Catholic Church. And as clergy and parishioners from all these different congregations came together, Pastor Rod told me a story. He said, there used to be a fence between Paradise Lutheran and St. Thomas More Catholic Church. They're right next to each other, but there used to be a fence. He said, there is now a gate. And last Sunday, the congregations pledged to keep that gate open. And this past Friday, after I went and I saw the flumes, that sacred place destroyed, I went to an event at Paradise Alliance Church. And I went there as part of a team of pastors just to be present, to pray with people, to talk to whoever needed to talk. And I was struck because at that place, there were together breaking bread, everyone from Scientologists to Episcopalians. And I was struck because, yes, I would talk to people and I would say, was it like it was? And they would say, no. But there was one woman there who said, you know, it's not like it was in my neighborhood. She said, because in my neighborhood before, I knew exactly one of my neighbors. She said, I recently threw a block party. 150 of my neighbors showed up, so no, it's not like it was. And it's not like it was for me either. Because as I went to this place to speak and pray with people, I kept getting stopped. I kept getting stopped by folks that I knew, folks from Faith Lutheran who had gone up to be a part of this community, but also faith people from Paradise Lutheran, people from St. Thomas More Catholic Church, people from social services like Red Cross and California Hope who had been a part of our Camp Noah summer camp. As I stood up, they came up to me and they said, we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you're a part of our community, that you're connected to us. When I first went to the Flumes, God changed my glasses. And I saw myself with new eyes. And it was good. On Friday, I went to the Flumes and God changed my heart. And I saw paradise with new eyes. I saw paradise as a sacred place once more, but this time not built out of catwalks and trails, but built out of people. A temple made of living stones out of the children of the resurrection who had united together in Christ to find new life. New life that doesn't die either in body or in relationship. I do not know what the future holds for paradise, but I know that God's future is not an eternity of our past. I know that God will take the broken pieces and fit them together not as they were, but as something so much more beautiful. And I do not know what past you have lost on this day. I do not know if what you have lost was found in paradise, or if, like the Sadducees describe, you have known the loss in your family and in your relationships. But I know this. God will not lose those pieces. God will put them together in something more beautiful than you have yet to imagine. And so I pray that God may give comfort to your heart and strengthen you in every good work and word, that you may have the faith to see that future that is alive now in Christ. Amen.